This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really excited to have undoubtedly the top legal scholar in the country joining us in the next segment, Alan Dershowitz, another great legal eagle. Robert Barnes is riding shotgun with me today. In fact, he was going to be hosting today. I have my own court stuff I have to deal with, but I'm going to push it up to right to the time I got to be in court in like an hour to talk to Alan Dershowitz about this historic event that's just unfolded. So Alan Dershowitz is coming up here with us live in 5 minutes when a couple hundred radio stations join us after this break. But Robert Barnes, give us a prelude of some of what you're going to be talking about after Dershowitz goes, but also just in general of why this is so historic, what we've just witnessed.
Well, I think as Professor Dershowitz has identified, this is all uncharted, unparalleled, unprecedented territory. This is an attempt to make something. It goes even worse than that. It's not only the just open, overt, Berea-style political weaponization of our legal criminal justice process. It does things like define something as a crime that's not a crime. It ignores statute of limitations that are meant to protect innocent individuals from wayward, politically motivated prosecutors in part. It's violation of due process, and it's the most selective prosecution, maybe at least in the modern history that I can remember. There have been many selective prosecutions, but this is probably the most abusive and egregious one. You have a district attorney being elected, campaigning in part on promising to indict a particular person for an unidentified crime. I mean, this is just unheard of in American history of the indictment actually occurring. You've had some people try to misuse their power in this way, abuse their privilege in this way, but very few have actually gone ahead and done it. And yet this one has. And now we're going to see, how does the justice system handle the bail process? Do they abuse it too? The Eighth Amendment exists for a reason. It says no unreasonable bail. It's supposed to be limited to conditions of release that guarantee appearance at trial, not supposed to be used to publicly shame or humiliate people, not supposed to be used to politically embarrass one's political opponents, not supposed to be used to restrict or restrain the freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of press, or right to petition one's own government. And yet we may see examples and illustrations of that here as well. So all of this is exposing the frailties of our criminal justice process that have mostly only been exposed in lower profile cases against political dissidents further outside the system. This is like the Chicago 7 trial on steroids. It's January 6th on steroids. It's taking a case that basically should not exist from a criminal proceedings, both because of who it is that's being targeted, who it is that's targeting him, but also because of the substantive nature of the claims being made, the charges being leveled, and the limitations that are supposed to be present that are not being present. So this goes right to the core of a constitutional democracy. I mean, people around the world are comparing us to a banana republic. Our global credibility has taken a substantial hit that will never fully come back. You know, we mock other countries when they try to lock up their political opponents. There was a kind of a fake documentary made, but a documentary made on behalf of that won an Oscar for Navalny, who's a very marginal political figure in Russia. But it won the best Oscar because he had been locked, just because he'd been locked up, even though I think he got no more than like 1% of the vote ever. Here you have, what signal does it send that we're locking up the former president and leading presidential opponent of the existing incumbent, based on completely nonsensical charges that have no basis in fact, no basis in law, no basis in due process, no basis in constitutional restraint on the criminal justice process.
It's just extremely reckless. Stay there. You're going to ride shotgun with us. Alan Dershowitz was really excited about this interview on Twitter, Alan Dersh. And, of course, he's got the new best-selling book, Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. Number one New York Times best-selling author from Skyhorse. Can't wait to get the book. I've got one being sent to me by Skyhorse that published my book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, that went to number one for 2 months. Number one in the New York Times, but they would not list it as number one, but number one on all the other systems. This is going to go to number one. Get Trump by Alan Dershowitz. Perfect timing with his book, I got to tell you. Coming up, we're back in 60 seconds, joining hundreds of radio stations. Everybody, tell your friends and family, tune in. You're going to hear from arguably, or not arguably, the top lawyer in the United States on what's really happening. Alan Dershowitz, stay with us.
We now have three new game-changing products that are in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. And one of our best-selling products sold out for over a year that's now back in stock. Our prebiotic does need any introduction. Does such amazing things to your gut flora, your overall health. What it does is essential. Go read about it at InfoWarsStore.com. And now, the fourth toothpaste designed with my dad. The last two were big hits. This one is really special. It's turmeric concentrate with a bunch of other essential oils and so much more to take your mouth's health to the next level. Those also have high-quality ashwagandha root for your libido, your stamina, your testosterone with black pepper extract to accelerate it as a pill. And we have ashwagandha root gummies as well. Very strong, very powerful. Now in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Go there, experience these great products and others, and fund the InfoWar. The only way we fail is not taking action. God bless you. Now please visit InfoWarsStore.com and experience these powerful products for yourself.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. It's Alex Jones.
All right. Well, I'm excited after many years trying to get him on the show that we've got him. I agree with him on about 90% of stuff, disagree about 10%, but nobody can deny that Alan Dershowitz is hands down America's top lawyer. He's got the new book out, Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. Alan Dershowitz, number one New York Times bestselling author. I don't need to introduce him. Everybody knows who he is. Perfect timing that he was going to be coming on soon about this book. I've been wanting to get him. And then he's here today while this is happening. Robert Barnes is riding shotgun with us as well. He'll have some questions. Alan, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody wants to hear what you have to say. You've been warning about this for a long time. So I'm going to try to give you the floor here, sir.
Well, I predicted this in my book, Get Trump. I knew that these district attorneys and attorney generals campaigned on the pledge to get Trump. These are Democratic district attorneys and attorneys general, and now they are prosecuting. Forget about the fact that he's the first former president to be prosecuted. He's the first presidential candidate to be prosecuted, and he's running against the head Democrat in the world, obviously, President Joe Biden. And when a popularly elected Democratic DA swore to get Trump is going after the man running against essentially his boss, the chief Democrat, he better have a slam dunk, ironclad case. And I have to tell you, I haven't seen the indictment yet, but from based on what I've seen, this may be the weakest case I've seen in my 60 years of practicing law. So this is a great danger to American democracy and the rule of law. And I hope that Americans and people all over the world will read my book, Get Trump, as a way of saying to Bragg, we're holding you accountable. You may not be held accountable in New York, where everybody votes against Trump, but we're going to hold you accountable around the country, in front of bar associations, and in front of the court of public opinion, because what you've done endangers the rule of law. You know, today it's a Republican Trump. Tomorrow it could be a Democrat. Day after tomorrow, it's your Uncle Charlie and your niece, and this involves all Americans. I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted against Trump twice. I have no idea who I'll vote for this next time, but it has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with the fact that the Constitution requires a presumption of innocence. It doesn't allow targeting of people, and it, Nancy Pelosi announced today that, no, Trump has to prove himself innocent. No, not in America. In America, an indictment doesn't mean anything. It's just a piece of paper charging somebody with a president, with something. But, I think every American has to be very concerned about what happened yesterday.
Well, I'm not a top legal scholar like you, but studying history, this has never been done before for a reason. Why has no political party in our 240-plus year history ever done this? Why is this such a constitutional crisis, as basically every analyst is saying?
And as we know, there was a thought perhaps to go after a former president named Richard Nixon. And President Ford did the right thing, and he said, no, we don't do that in America. And he endangered his own presidential reelection by pardoning Trump, which was the right thing to do. I had dinner with President Ford some years after that, and he said that was the most important and principal thing he did during his presidency, preventing a precedent being established that you go after former presidents criminally, even though there was very strong evidence that he had obstructed justice and paid bribes. Here there's nothing. Here there's nothing. Here there's a non-disclosure agreement. Thousands of them are written every year. Nobody in history has ever then put on his corporate form, oh, the reason I paid the $130,000 was to make sure my wife and family doesn't learn about the fact that I was accused of having an adulterous affair with a porn star. Why would anybody ever pay for a non-disclosure agreement and then disclose it? So never in history has anybody been indicted for that kind of Mickey Mouse crime. And then they stitch it together with a federal felony to try to make it a felony. That's not the way criminal justice should operate. You know, Thomas Jefferson once said that for a criminal statute to be constitutional, it has to be so clear that a person who is reading it while running, could understand it clearly. Now, I'm going to read this indictment while sitting with 60 years of experience, and I can bet you that I will not understand how they could make a state felony out of a fake misdemeanor and a fake federal felony that nobody else previously wanted to prosecute.
Mr. Dershowitz, taking off your prestigious legal hat and putting on just an American, a citizen, a historian hat, why is the corrupt deep state bureaucracy doing a crazy Hail Mary like this? I mean, it'd be something if they had something to go after a former president. It'd still be unprecedented and explosive. But to do something with basically an unloaded gun, to threaten the world with banana republic status and not even have the goods, what do you think, just as an American with your gravitas, why they're this desperate or why they're doing this?
Well, first of all, I don't think you can say they. This was a decision made by one person, obviously, the elected district attorney, and he knows he can win this case in New York. Do you remember what happened to me on Martha's Vineyard? I defended President Trump in front of the United States Senate on constitutional grounds, and I lost all my friends on the vineyard. My wife lost her friends. My children lost their friends. Everybody turned against us because I had exercised my and his constitutional right to defend himself. If you just multiply that tenfold, that's what would happen to a judge in New York or a juror in New York who who applied justice, actual justice to Donald Trump. He would never, ever again be part of New York life. He'd be ostracized.
So he's doing it because he's in his own delusional bubbles, what you're saying?
Because he knows he can win. No, he can win in New York. That's why the first thing that his lawyers have to do, Trump's lawyers have to do, is move the case out of New York, move to Staten Island, which is just across the river. But the voting demographics are very different. Move it to upstate New York. He cannot get a fair trial in New York City, and that's why Bragg went after him. Bragg doesn't want to lose this case. He doesn't care if it's reversed on appeal. He'll blame it on the judges. But he doesn't want to lose it in front of a jury, and he probably won't lose it in front of a jury. As they say, in New York, a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich, but in New York, when the name of the ham sandwich is Donald Trump, a petty jury will convict him as well. And even though he has very good lawyers, I think the likelihood that lawyers can persuade New York jurors to allow Donald Trump to walk away free and run for president and be reelected is very unlikely.
So you're saying job number one is to move it out of New York City.
That's step number one is out of New York City. Step number two is to apply the statute of limitations. This all happened 7 years ago. And, you know, they say, well, we couldn't have indicted him over the last 7 years. A, we didn't know where he was. He was in the White House. And number two, you can't indict him if he's not in New York. Well, when do you think they indicted him? They indicted him when he was in Florida. So the fact that they indicted him when he was outside of New York means they could have indicted him any day during the seven previous years, and they didn't do it. And I think they blew the statute of limitations. Now, they will argue that, no, because he was out of New York, the statute provides that the statute of limitations tolls. But it's a nonsense argument in light of the fact that they did indict him while he was outside of New York, something they could have done for years. The reason they didn't indict him over the last 7 years, previous prosecutors looked at the case and said there's nothing to it. We're not going to indict him. Those are legitimate neutral prosecutors, and then you get a partisan political guy, and he says, no, the first 2 years I said I didn't think there was a case. In fact, two of his assistants quit over that. But I don't know, did he get calls from George Soros, from other contributors? I don't know the answer to that. But he obviously had pressure put on him.
Yeah, did he get blackmailed?
Well, I don't know anything about that. I don't know what he'd be blackmailed for. He seems like an honorable and decent man and a good lawyer, and he had a good reputation. But you know, when you're caught up in the political winds and you're in New York City where nobody has anything good to say about Donald Trump, I don't mean nobody, but people, the voters, don't. If you wear a MAGA hat in New York City, you know, you're going to get hit by a bike or you're going to get, attacked and physically attacked.
Sure, Alan Dershowitz, stay right there. We got to go to break. The book, Get Trump, available everywhere, Skyhorse Publishing. We're going to come back. But I think you misunderstood me. I was getting to your point earlier of they can try this in New York, the court of public opinion's against them. I was asking in general, I understand the pressure in New York, why they're not thinking outside of just Manhattan that you brought up when you first came on. I mean, the fact that this is going to make Trump explode in popularity, then I guess we're just guessing at why they would do something so reckless. Alan Dershowitz, our guest. Riding Shotgun is Robert Barnes. I'm Alex Jones. Everybody, you know, tune in now. This is historic. This is important.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, live Friday edition. We have the top lawyer in the country, hands down, Alan Dershowitz, with a new book, Get Trump, Skyhorse Publishing. And Robert Barnes is riding shotgun with us, another successful, well-known lawyer who's going to have some of his own questions as well. So you heard my point earlier, but I don't want to belabor that. All I'm getting at is we're seeing a massive backlash, and we know the feds, going to your point, did not indict Trump on these same, as you say, non-issue Mickey Mouse garbage. And so I guess I'm trying to just read minds here, but I just don't see how such an obviously explosive decision was made for the first time in U.S. history. And I think we can probably chalk it up just to the bubble that that he's in New York City. But how do you see this as a citizen unfolding? And then I'd like you to get into all the other facets you'd like to, Mr. Dershowitz.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily just the bubble. I think he wants to be reelected. He made a promise. He promised he would get Trump. But if he doesn't get Trump, he loses his reelection. He has gotten contributions. We know reportedly he got $500,000 from George Soros. And whether he got a call from Soros or just anticipated that Soros might cut back on his contributions if he doesn't do it, this can't be based on objective legal standards. Nobody else would ever be indicted for these kinds of absurd non-crimes. So plainly, he succumbed to pressure. He was pressured by his two former assistant district attorneys, one of whom wrote a book, saying that they ought to go after Trump. But he resisted that pressure initially, and then he succumbed to it. So I don't know whether he got pressured from other people as well, but this is not a righteous, objective, neutral application of the law and the facts. This is something very different. Keep an open mind until you see the indictment. Remember, the indictment hasn't been leaked. The fact of the indictment has been leaked. And by the way, the district attorney Bragg should be investigating who leaked it. It's in his building. It's under his nose. It's in his watch. And is he investigating who made the leak? A leak in New York by grand jurors or by members of Bragg's staff constitutes a Class E felony subject to a year to 5 years in prison. So I think it's important to know whether Bragg is, in fact, investigating this leak.
Wow. Again, you're the legal scholar. I'd like you to go wherever you, want here. But just briefly bringing in Barnes here, we'll be interviewing you coming up in the next few segments. Robert, you got Alan Dershowitz here with the case of the, not the century. This is the case, I mean, in U.S. history. Everybody's admitting it. What should I be asking Dershowitz? I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, Professor. Can you describe for people, I know the courts have sadly not meaningfully enforced it in my view, but that there is a limit on prosecutorial discretion in the Constitution, colloquially known as selective prosecution under the First Amendment, enforceable through the 14th Amendment against the states. Do you think President Trump has a grounds to bring a motion to dismiss for selective prosecution? And can you explain to folks out there what that is and what that entails, and that our Constitution does, in fact, have limits on this kind of excess of prosecutorial discretion?
Well, there's no question that there are constitutional limits. Selective prosecution is a hard case to make. This one is so obvious that any court should see through it. Nobody has ever been prosecuted or will ever be prosecuted in the future for doing anything like this if the indictment is what we think it is. We're not absolutely positive. So we have to wait and see. There are also other limitations, ethical limitations. For example, a prosecutor can't put a witness on the stand who he knows or reasonably suspects may be lying. And Michael Cohen, my God, is there, if the word liar appears in the dictionary, Michael Cohen's picture is, I mean, he's the man who has lied to his lawyers, lied to the federal authorities, lied to state authorities. And I'll tell you a recent, interesting vignette involving me. So his lawyers have now said, oh, yeah, he was a liar in the past. He lied to everybody. But suddenly God has come down to him, lightning has struck. And he's suddenly turned into a complete truth teller. Well, 2 days ago, he did a tweet about me, which constituted a defamatory lie. He suggested that I was on Jeffrey Epstein's island with underage girls. Obviously, that never happened. The one person who accused me is now recanted and basically said she may have mistaken me for somebody else. Nobody has ever accused me. Even she never accused me of being on Epstein's island.
Well, you're not on the flight logs, and no one has ever said they saw you other than one person that...
But Michael Cohen decided to lie about me, and I'm going to sue him. And so this will be something that can be used in cross-examining.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Start over. You're going to sue Michael Cohen. That's big news. Yeah, Please tell us.
For defamation. And then the question that if he takes the witness stand, he'll be asked, you say you started telling the truth, but you just lied about Alan Dershowitz. You know he wasn't on Epstein's island. You know he's never had sex with an underage girl. You just got mad at him because he called you a liar. So you made up a story about him. So you're still lying, right? How is he going to get around that? So I don't think that Bragg can really put Michael Cohen on the witness stand. If he does, he really subjects his bar card to some kind of a sanction. Lawyers have to only put witnesses on the stand who they honestly believe are going to tell the truth. That's part of the sacred obligation of a lawyer, something I've complied with for 60 years. Sometimes my clients don't like it when I say, no, I'm not putting you on the witness stand. I cannot credibly believe that you're necessarily going to tell the whole truth. And so Bragg has to be applying an even higher standard as a prosecutor. So he has really two alternatives. One, he can risk his bar card by putting Cohen on the witness stand, which would be a mistake. Or he can try to make the case around Cohen, use people other than Cohen to try to prove what Cohen would otherwise approve. He may try to do that, but I suspect Cohen will be called as a witness, will be devastated on cross-examination, and then there'll be questions about Bragg's ethics.
Wow. Barnes, that was a great question. Give us another one.
In the same capacity, you've mentioned that there are limitations on a grand jury, even though the U.S. Supreme Court, in my view, has watered those down. But one of them that still exists is a prosecutor cannot knowingly suborn perjury or things like that. Do you think there's the possibility that perjured testimony may have occurred in front of this grand jury, including by Cohen?
I do think so, and I think it was also suppression of evidence. Remember that Costello was not called as a witness. Costello, who was Cohen's lawyer, he was not called as a witness. Obviously, Bragg wanted to keep him from the jury. But he volunteered, and he essentially burst into the grand jury room and said, you're going to have to listen to me. And then he testified that the hundreds of emails that he had sent to the DA to show to the grand jury were never shown to the grand jury. So I think there'll be a motion as well for suppression of exculpatory evidence in front of the grand jury, and we'll see whether or not there's also suppression of evidence under the Brady principle that should have been turned over and should be turned over to the defense. This is only the beginning of what will be, as you say, a very monumental case. When I think of the cases in American history, and I've written a book about that, America on Trial, going through all the great cases in American history, this comes close to the trial of Aaron Burr, the former vice president of the United States who was put on trial by Jefferson for treason and defended himself, mostly himself he defended. And
Hold on, Alan Dershowitz, longer segment coming up. We're going to come right back with you and Robert Barnes. I want to hear about the Burr case. Is this the biggest case ever? And we'll also just talk about, in general, the timing. Roger Stone was asking earlier if I would ask you and Barnes about the timing of how this goes, the election. Can Trump pardon himself? Obviously not. It's a local case. So how do you see that unfolding? We'll be right back with Alan Dershowitz.
The fight against the New World Order is now the top story in the world. The globalists are in deep trouble, but they're striking back with all their deep state operatives to shut down InfoWars and other truth tellers like James O'Keefe, Tucker Carlson, and countless others. So please, pray for us now more than ever. Spread the word about the broadcast and get great products to keep us on air and fund our operation while at the same time enriching your life. Now we've got three new products available at InfoWarsStore.com and a bestseller back in stock. We have the amazing Dr. Jones Naturals, turmeric toothpaste, and so much more. Find out more at InfoWarsStore.com. We have the ashwagandha root, pills with black powder extract to accelerate your libido, stamina, testosterone. And we have pure ashwagandha gummies at InfoWarsStore.com as well. These are all the highest quality products. The prebiotic is now finally back in stock. They're all there at InfoWarsStore.com. So please take action now. Enrich your life, empower your body, and keep us on air. Please take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, a very dangerous time for our republic. We've seen throughout history similar behavior. We see the third world constantly engaged in this type of behavior. Alan Dershowitz, top lawyer, hands down in the country. Another great lawyer, Robert Barnes. Ride the shotgun with amazing questions. The book, Get Trump, Alan Dershowitz, number one New York Times bestselling author. The threat to civil liberties, due process, and our constitutional rule of law. I wanted to speak more to that. Finish up because you got interrupted by the break on Burr and those trials and where he sees this going. And I'm more on the fact he's going to sue somebody who's the star witness against Trump. I want to get more on that because that's a big news-making item. Please don't forget, we're listener-supported. We're not funded by big money. We're funded by you. This book, signed or unsigned, is available. InfoWarsStore.com, The Great Reset, and The War for the World, and the fun shirt, Alex Jones for President. I'm not really running, but that's how we keep this independent media operation on the air, is with fun T-shirts. So I'm going to hand the baton now to Robert Barnes and Alan Dershowitz. Alan, would you like to get back to the whole Burr trial that you got caught off on?
Yeah, but I just want to mention one thing about T-shirts. President Trump called me the other day just to tell me that he was going to endorse Get Trump, that he thought it was a great book, that he hopes someday I'll vote for him. And I told him, look, I'll give you one bit of advice. Invest in a T-shirt company, because once you have a mugshot, your mugshot will go on every T-shirt, and it will sell more than anything since Frank Sinatra's mugshot, and it will be used probably as a campaign poster. And so that mugshot will become world famous. And I asked him if he would send me a signed copy of it for my, as you see in the back, my back wall. I have lots of fun things posted. And so getting his mugshot will be interesting too.
That is a great idea. I need to hire you as my chief marketer. I didn't even, that is, now that I think of it, that's a common sense, but that's a great idea.
Yeah. Getting back to Burr for a second, Burr, as you know, killed Hamilton in a duel. But he wasn't prosecuted for that. He was actually sitting vice president when that happened. But he was prosecuted years later for treason. He tried to get a verdict of not guilty. The jury returned a verdict of not proven using the Scottish system. He objected to that. And the judge, who was John Marshall, the great Chief Justice of the United States, said, no, you're going to have to be satisfied with the verdict of not proven. But that trial, and then I would say some of the McCarthy trials, some of the civil rights trials, are the greatest trials in American history, the Rosenberg trial. There are so many. This is going to rank among them if it ever gets to trial. It's a strong possibility. It won't get the trial. It'll be dismissed on statute of limitations or other grounds. But, it might get the trial. And if it gets the trial in Manhattan, he probably will be convicted. And then it'll have to go up to appellate courts. And appellate judges in New York are also elected. And so it may have to wait to get into the federal courts and up to the Supreme Court. But my prediction is in the end, if the indictment is what we think it is, it will not survive.
There has been some talk, Professor, about the possibility of issuing a gag order. That I see this as misuse of bail authority, a violation of First Amendment principles. Can you just tell people why there's constitutional limits on such a gag order, why it should not apply here, and what's the risk that the political pressure in New York leads a judge to issue that kind of gag order?
It's possible. Gag orders like this have been issued in the past. They are, in my view, unconstitutional. We have to take seriously the notion that every American is presumed innocent unless and until they're found guilty by a jury. And innocent people can't be denied their First Amendment rights. By the way, it's not only Trump's First Amendment rights. It's the First Amendment right of everybody to listen to what Trump has had to say. And there are millions of people out there who want to hear him say what he has to say. And so I don't think it would be constitutional to impose a gag order or a travel restriction if he's running for president. But, judges have a lot of discretion, and a lot of judges have made a lot of mistakes about bail conditions. And so I hope that when a judge makes a decision, he'll think more about the Constitution than about what his friends will say about his decision.
In the context of Michael Cohen, for a witness who has the, as you note, the extraordinarily poor track record that he does in making contradictory statements, by his own admission, a self-confessed fraudster, by his own admission, a self-confessed liar, by obvious implication, a perjurer. If you were defending the president, how much would you make the reliability or lack thereof of Michael Cohen a key part of the trial strategy?
Oh, it's a very key part of the strategy. When prosecutors put on witnesses that lie and that lie to the jury, juries see through that and don't like it. Look, people credit me and others for winning the O.J. Simpson case. We didn't win the O.J. Simpson case. The prosecutors lost the O.J. Simpson case by putting on lying witnesses, by putting on police officers who tampered with the evidence. The jurors told us that afterward. And so the greatest gift to Donald Trump would be Michael Cohen, the gift that keeps on giving. And so if I'm a smart prosecutor, I don't go near Michael Cohen, but then the juries will wonder, we're seeing the play Hamlet. Where's the prince? We don't see Hamlet. He's the central character in this thing, and he's not testifying. And so they're going to have to try to explain that. This is not going to be an easy case on the merits for Bragg. It may be an easy case if it's held in Manhattan. If it's held anywhere else, I think it'll be a hard case for him.
Now, do you think that people have a right, of course, to an impartial jury? As you note, that's a very difficult thing to come by in New York City if your name is President Donald John Trump. What can you remind people, what are your constitutional rights, and what would a good judge do to try to find an impartial jury in Manhattan?
Well, I think it would be an impossible task, but he'd have to give the defense an enormous amount of leeway in questioning jurors. And, you know, let's assume you could get 12 jurors who never heard of Donald Trump. What kind of people would they be if they never heard of Donald Trump? Or 12 people who say they have no opinion on Donald Trump. There's one word for that, and that's liars. A lot of potential jurors lie because they want to get on the jury. Everybody wants to be on the jury in the most historic case in modern American history. So you're going to get a lot of people lying about a lot of things in order to get on the jury. I have to tell you, I think it's an impossible job to try to get a fair jury in Manhattan. And I would hope that judges would see that. Now, the motion to get a change of venue is sometimes appealable if that's denied. So it might get to a court of appeals fairly quickly, and a court of appeals might send the case to a different borough or to upstate New York. But we'll see if judges have the courage to do the right thing. You know, the right thing is to get the case out of Manhattan.
And what do you think, I don't know if you saw recently the federal civil trial that's coming up in New York, where we'll get to see sort of a quick glimpse at what New York justice might look like if you're named Donald Trump. The court has ordered an anonymous jury. I've always been a little concerned about anonymous juries because it can create at least the impression of secret justice. The average person doesn't get to crowdfund or crowdsource, I should say, information that, as in the Roger Stone case, we found out one of the jurors really had not been fully forthcoming during the process. Ghislaine Maxwell's case raised some issues about that as well. What do you think about the possibility of an anonymous jury in the criminal case concerning Donald Trump?
There's no such thing. Anonymous juries are only anonymous during the trial. Their names then get revealed afterward, and their names get leaked. So I don't think an anonymous jury protects. An anonymous jury also sends a message to the jurors, you've got something to be worried about. And it reaffirms the notion that if people knew you were on the jury, they might take it out on you, either physically or psychologically, emotionally, or in friendship ways. So I don't think an anonymous jury provides much protection. It may provide a little bit of protection. They also may try to get a sequestered jury. But in this case, everybody already knows everything. So sequestering them during the trial won't really provide the kind of fairness that is required to have a fair trial. I just don't think it's possible to have a fair trial. People are going to render verdicts and judgments based on their voting patterns that they want to see Trump be president. If they don't want to see Trump be president, if they like his presidency in the past and they don't like it, that's not the basis for which justice is supposed to be done.
We'll be right back with Professor Dershowitz discussing this unprecedented case of the Trump indictment. His book, Get Trump, which unfortunately predicted and previewed much of the legal horrors we're witnessing. We'll discuss that and more right after the break.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy.
created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jones Show. Robert Barnes here, guest hosting with the one and only, the inimitable Professor Alan Dershowitz, the greatest living constitutional lawyer in our time on matters of criminal law, civil law, and political arena as well, has managed to cover all three in his lifetime. A rare someone that I would like to emulate over my legal career if I get the good fortune to do so. Professor Dershowitz, what about the timing? You know, there's a right to the public has a right to a speedy trial. Trump has a right to a speedy trial. But it may not be in the interest of justice to have a too speedy trial in this case. What do you think the timing is if the case actually ultimately proceeds to a jury trial, if it gets past motions to dismiss and things of that nature? What do you think the timing will be of an actual jury trial in this case?
Hard to believe that there could be a jury trial in this case in this calendar year. I would think that it will occur during the election year, which will make things even more difficult. But the timing was up to Bragg. I think the speedy trial and statute of limitations issues have already expired. I mean, these events occurred 7 years ago. Can he get a fair trial based on the passage of time? And don't statutes of limitations have to be enforced fairly, but I do think that with motions, with possible appeals that could be made of motions, that we're probably thinking about 2024.
In terms of the issues concerning the political weaponization and selective prosecution, does this potentially open the door to Republican prosecutors in, say, some small county somewhere in the country deciding, well, we'll indict Hillary Clinton now. We'll indict, you know, we'll find something to indict Barack Obama on. We'll indict Hunter Biden. We'll indict Joe Biden. What is the risk of that, that door has now been opened by this prosecution?
Oh, I think the risk is considerable. In America, we have seen over and over again tit-for-tat politics, and anything the Democrats do, the Republicans do, and vice versa. And I do think that we will see more political charges, and we'll see the bar reduced. It used to be the case that you understand that if a person is running for office, you must have a very high bar to prosecute. It has to be a clear case. This, if the indictment is what we think it is, will have violated that rule and lowered the bar, and that lowering of the bar will apply to Republicans, to Democrats, and for everybody. And this is a case that endangers all of our freedoms. If you can bring a criminal case on the basis of this kind of flimsy evidence and law, that means nobody is safe. Justice Jackson once said, excuse me, that any prosecutor can rummage through the statute books and find something to pin on somebody, and that's not the way American law should apply, and that rule, too, has been violated by yesterday's actions.
Yeah, it very much feels like a Berea prosecution. Show me the man, and I'll find you the crime. One thing that's always stood out to me throughout this process is you identify in your book, Get Trump, and have talked about being problematic from the get-go, is usually sometimes when you have a high-profile political person saying they're going to go after somebody, it's for something that's already happened in a clear criminal context, like, oh, I'm going to go prosecute Enron, or I'm going to go prosecute the white collar, or whatever. Rare do you see, I'm going to go prosecute that guy. I'm not sure on what yet, but I'm just going to go get that guy. You know, the old famous Berea statement to Stalin, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. To what degree does this raise issues of due process? That if we see the indictment and we see laws being applied in ways that could not have been really on fair notice of most people, as you pointed out very articulately at the beginning, non-disclosure agreements are done all the time. Nobody puts them in their public disclosure later or their internal documents. Oh, by the way, here's my hush money payment. I mean, it defeats the whole purpose of a non-disclosure agreement. Now, all of a sudden, all those people could be criminally prosecuted all across America. How much is there an issue of fair notice and due process that might come up in these proceedings as well?
Well, there's no question. There is an issue of fair notice. There is an issue of what the law calls lenity. When you have ambiguous statutes, they have to be resolved in favor of the defendant. It all goes into the concept of targeting, of get Trump, of due process violations of selective prosecution. All of these will be raised. Some of them are harder than others to get a judicial relief on them, but they are all part of also the court of public opinion. For example, the government's going to argue the statute of limitations didn't get told because he was out of the state, meaning you couldn't indict him if he was in Washington, D.C., but they indicted him when he was out of the state. So that gives the lie to the notion that they couldn't have indicted him any day over the past 7 years. And statute of limitations of misdemeanors, 2 years, felony, 5 years. Those are long expired. Why didn't they indict him while he was outside of the state, or even while he was in the state, which he came to from time to time? And the reason is obvious. Prosecutors looked at the case and they said, there's nothing here. And so they didn't indict him, and now they decided to change that 7 years later. That should not survive a statute of limitations scrutiny, but it might, because the New York Court of Appeals had a weird, weird decision about how you count the days being out of the state. But I don't think that's consistent with what the statute of limitations, which was enacted by the legislature, had in mind.
And can you explain for folks that the statute of limitations isn't just like some little procedural aspect? Sometimes we hear, you know, technicalities, and people use that excuse for how criminal defendants escape as they view justice. In fact, these are constitutional rights and liberties meant to impose fair notice is a critical component of what statute of limitations is all about. And that the rule of lenity, as you mentioned, is about protecting against the defendant being wrongfully prosecuted in a way they couldn't fairly anticipate and how we interpret the laws. Could you remind folks that, you know, what other people call technicalities are the core to constitutional liberty in America?
Well, my life has been a life of trying to impose what other people think are technicalities, and I think are the essence of what makes America, the greatest democracy in the world, that we have rules of law, and those rules of law have to be enforced fairly and equally. And statutes of limitations are part of them. Look, we're seeing a challenge to statute of limitations. The Me Too movement got many states to eliminate statutes of limitations for rape and other sexual crimes, and that has created major problems because memories disappear, witnesses disappear, and statutes of limitations have to be taken seriously. And I don't think any crime other than perhaps murder should be prosecuted beyond a certain period of time, 5 years, something like that. But they certainly shouldn't be extended after the statute of limitations has expired. The Supreme Court has said that would be unconstitutional. So there is a constitutional dimension to statute of limitations.
Have you been surprised? I've been surprised to some degree at many of my friends on the left, in particular, but not limited to it, within the legal world, have, in my view, abandoned a lot of their principles, either because of political pressure or because of just like Trump derangement syndrome and the rest. Have you been surprised at seeing that? And are you, while you predicted it in Get Trump and forecast this is where the world was going, are you still surprised that we're actually here? We're to this point.
I am. I'm disappointed. In my previous book, The Price of Principle, I talked about how so many civil libertarians, people like my former colleague Lawrence Tribe, and the ACLU are prepared to give up on the Constitution in order to get Trump. And I've had people say that to me. We're prepared to do anything, distort any constitutional provision, ignore any rule of law if we can get Trump. And that's why the subtitle for my book, Get Trump, is The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. It's not only a threat to Trump. It's not only a threat to people who get indicted. It's a threat to have the rule of law subordinated to the preference of politics. And I think we're seeing more and more and more of that. There's less respect for the Constitution. And people on the hard left, particularly in the woke movement, have said over and over again, we don't care about freedom of speech. We don't care about due process. We know the truth. We know if you're a man who's been accused by a woman, you have to be guilty. What do you need a trial for? What do you need due process? We know if you're somebody who makes statements that are sexist or racist, there's no room for that under our First Amendment. We don't need to hear your point of view. That's what happened in Stanford when a group of people from the National Lawyers Guild organized an attempt to try to shut down and silence a federal judge whose views they disagreed with. National Lawyers Guild is going to do that all over the country at 100 law schools where they have organizations. And so we have to fight back for every one of our amendments. Look, if I were writing the Bill of Rights, I might not put the Second Amendment in, certainly not in the ambiguous terms that it's there today, but it's there. And we have to fight to preserve it, just like we have to fight to preserve the Fifth Amendment and the First Amendment. That's the basis of our democracy. The Bill of Rights is a constraint on majority rule, and we have to keep that viable, and we're not doing that. We're allowing partisan political preferences to prevail over the Constitution.
Thanks for being with us, Professor. I've read many of his books. I have most of them in my library. I recommend Get Trump because it's about bigger, and as he articulates well, beyond Trump himself. It's about our rule of law. It's about America. So we'll be right back after the break. Thanks, Professor.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.